Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey. Jeffrey at Jeffrey TV, coming to you live from a remote location. Yesterday, I posted a question. On the social media platform under my name, Jeffrey Pure Funk Mitchell. And the question read as follows. Name three bands / groups that come to mind from any era that come to mind when you think of funk. And then I put in parentheses, not funky. Now, in times past, I've been known to post questions like that to antagonize a certain discussion or to, you know, maybe aggravate a faction of the population who may believe one way and where I may see things differently. And the idea is to post a benign question as to get people, a benign, innocent looking question, as to get people to get the conversation started. You just don't want to light the fire. You want them to light the fire. And also, that was me back then. That was me a few years ago, maybe a decade ago or so. But now I'm reached a plateau or a level of understanding and or of accomplishment and or experience to where I'm good. I'm full. I'm good. You know, I'm not craving this or needing that to be fulfilled. I'm just like, whew. And I also posted the question to get people's answers. Because I was kind of excited about the question because the way I thought of it. Because when I asked myself that question, and I deliberately said three groups, a multiple number, more than one. Because quite frankly, I can only think of one. When I think of funk, and not funky, I can only think of one group. And that's Parliament. Now, people have been telling me for years that I'm distilling out P-Funk. I'm distilling out P-Funk and may be appropriating that or considering that as being funk in total. Well, actually, where I may have, this is just speculation. I'm not sure about if I believe this or not yet. What I may have been doing is considering P-Funk to be funk. And this question kind of pushed me to a place where I'm realizing that my idea of funk without the P, F-U-N-K, and not funky, you know, a lot of things are funky, but not funk. We can go on that later, maybe. And so I'm starting to realize that maybe, yeah, I'm considering P-Funk to be funk. Because in the list, you know, people wrote back and they posted the, you know, same names that came to mind, Cameo, Barcaze, Slave. I even put One Way in there for whatever reason. You know, all the Ohio groups that came out as funk. You know, I thought about those. And the big deal, probably, is that I considered Bootsy and Funkadelic. And I couldn't put them in there. I only could think of one name. I couldn't put Bootsy and Funk. I definitely couldn't put Funkadelic in there. But quite frankly, all the funk songs, I believe, the Funkadelic have, are not really Funkadelic songs. I believe they were songs given to Funkadelic so Funkadelic can have a hit or to put a song on another label to have multiple songs out at one time. And there are a few Parliament songs that I believe could have been Funkadelic. And of course it goes back and forth. I mean, that's natural. I mean, you know, you're in the studio, you're in the studio, you're producing, you know, same core musicians. This can go this way, that can go that way. It's fluid. Like, for example, I consider Night of the Thumbosaurus People as possibly could be a Funkadelic song. Only because it's no lyrics and it's just so, you know. But I couldn't even put Bootsy in there. And that kind of struck me as funny. That got me to thinking. I couldn't put Bootsy in there. I couldn't put Funkadelic in there. The only thing I could really put in there wholeheartedly was Parliament. And one of the reasons I came up with yesterday, or last night, or whenever I was thinking about it, was that Cameo and the Barcades and all them, and Slave and all them, they have funk songs. There's no doubt about that. And the wording of the question was funk bands or groups, not funk songs. A lot of those bands that people put in there, somebody put the Meters in there. I'm not even going to touch that subject. I may have to revisit what the Meters are. Because, I knew there was going to be a couple of them in there that were, you know, that I just went. And I try to keep up my mind. This was a discussion. Open public discussion. What is it called when you just go one-on-one? I try to keep the dialogue open between me and the people posting so I wouldn't get all closed-minded. And I forget what I was going to say, but the Barcades and the Slaves and the Cameos, what struck me was that they had love songs. I mean, some truly good slow jams that probably could generally over the top not be called non-funk songs. A lot of these bands can function. All of them had love songs. And to put it generally, I do have a problem with love songs. Whatever problem means. I mean, I like them and everything, but I never got them. When it came to funk, one of the reasons that I gravitated towards P-Funk and probably Parliament because there wasn't no I love you in it. One song I know of says I love you. That's getting to know you. Because I never was that person. I'm more like, what's love got to do with it? Could be that I'm not romantic and more practical. I don't know. But Cameo got Smile, Confunction got Love Shine. What song that Confunction got that's really good? I mean, Barcade's got, you got me with it, bro. You got me with it. In and out of my life. I remember I love that song. I used to listen to it over and over. You got me with it, bro. Yeah, in and out of my life. We had the Gap Band. One of them, Gap Band. The other one, they had slow song. Parliament didn't have a song like that. Parliament didn't have a slow song. Sure, they had a slow song, Placebo Syndrome, and it was kind of dreamy. But it's not about love. It's not lovey-dovey. Now, Funkadelic doesn't either. But I consider Funkadelic to be blues jazz. I know y'all have heard all this already. I know some of y'all have heard this so many times. But I'm going to keep going over it because it's Jeffrey TV, damn it. And I'm going to keep going over it until I get to the foundation of what I'm trying to understand. So it may be, and let me clarify, it may be that the five records, I believe it's five, from Mothership Connection through Trombipulation define for me what funk is. And I will concede, or I will have to admit, that my definition of funk may be way too narrow to be healthy for whatever situation or circumstance. They say the P stands for pure. This is on the Motor Booty Affair album. Whoa. That's on the Motor Booty Affair album. The P stands for pure. And that's funk apogee. Some people are saying the P stands for Parliament. Funkadelic. It can mean anything. Funk can mean anything. It doesn't matter. It can be ambiguous. It can be all kinds of different stuff. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. Well, it is kind of the point, but it's not. It could be, again, that my idea or my understanding of what funk is may be of what P-Funk is. But then we'd have to go to the next discussion. What is funk? How far, how big of a window, how grave an area, how many fringe groups, fringe songs can be. One person put Led Zeppelin. And I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm not disagreeing with anything. That's what, okay, let me just say that too. I'm not disagreeing with anybody's. I can't disagree. Because the question is, what do you think is funk? And that can't be wrong. That can't be wrong, because it's what they think. That's their opinion. That can't be wrong. Whatever they say has to go. So I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. I'm just trying to lay out our argument for an understanding and stuff, you know. And it's usually, it's easier put as a us against them, more argumentative style to get to the, in discussion to find out exactly, you know, what was meant by what was said. And I get it. If somebody said Led Zeppelin was funk, if you think about it, funk is not funky. So it don't got to be, you know, upbeat, or ain't got to have that thing on it. It can be funk. I'll stay. What is that? I'll stay. Is that funk? See, that's what becomes a gray area. And I think I love gray areas. Let's just face it. I love gray areas. I do like to have my life. I define and orchestrate it and manage precisely as possible. But the gray areas turn me on most. The parts where we have to describe and distinguish and figure out and maybe take things to another level to get a better understanding of what's going on and we're talking about. Long Way Around, the Tribulation record. I'm trying to think of some slow songs. And I'm not going to waste my time on that because I think I've done this already. I don't think there are any really no lovey-dovey songs or Parliament record. So I just want to put that out there. Today is a P-Funk day. It's not raining. It was raining yesterday. They said the rain is going to continue. It's not raining right now. Out here getting my steps, trying to get my weight back down. Mr. Scale told me 209 a day. I should be about 10 pounds lighter than that. If I can get through this week and Christmas, I'll be okay. But back to it. I guess I said it already. I guess my definition of funk is P-Funk. It's Parliament. And when I first encountered Parliament and was going through it, nothing compared to Parliament. Nothing. It was Parliament above all else. There was no other. I like saying that. Between Pittsburgh and Parliament. Absolute devotion towards that said Socratic ideology. So when Parliament came out and people was telling me that Parliament and Funkadelic was the same people and this and that, I wasn't trying to hear it. I wasn't trying to hear it at all. Nothing. Nothing was with Parliament. I was offended, in fact. Probably because I didn't quite understand, you know, how things were set up or the whole band situation. Because remember, this is back before the internet. This is back where mostly all the information I got from Parliament about Parliament people was word of mouth. Every now and then you see something on, right on a magazine or something like that, or in a jet. But unless you bought the album, and I rarely did, because I got bootlegs, I didn't get liner notes of nothing. And I'll take that back as I got older, you know, I started picking up the records, even in high school, you know. So, but if you get the 8-track, you're not getting much there. But even Bootsy, it took me a while to realize that Bootsy may be Parliament more than Mr. Clinton is. It was Bootsy's influence that I'm attracted to most. And I hope, and I may be saying that just because, well, I don't want to say most, but it was Bootsy's influence or that thing he bought that may or may not have triggered my love for this music. And Bootsy was from Ohio. And I'm from Ohio. And Funk is from Ohio. I don't have to say that. But even Bootsy, and he had jams out, funky as hell, whatever you want to call it. Even Bootsy was not Parliament. Nothing. Nothing touched Parliament. And I still might be that way. And I may have just realized that I'm that way. So, as we get older, we peel back the layers of the onion. We reveal things about ourselves to ourselves. We get an understanding of how we understand. We see sometimes maybe how and why we understand things. Because the P-Funk, I understood 47 years ago, may not be the P-Funk that I understood 27 years ago. And it's definitely not the P-Funk that I understand today. It's an evolution, and I love that part about life. Life is always evolving, changing. You gotta stay current. You gotta stay abreast. You gotta stay capable. You gotta adapt. Adaptability. Sometimes you have to conform. Sometimes you have to conform. It's hard for me to even say that. Sometimes you have to compromise. Sometimes you have to compromise. Sometimes you have to compromise. I can't say it. I'm not going to say it. That was staged, but you get the point. So tonight, when I go see that band and the evolution thereof, and they come out previously, recently, as they have, to some old Funkadelic, that may or may not could have been Parliament. I wanna know if it's good to you, baby. That could be Parliament. But no, I don't know. I just threw it out there. And then they go into the Shake the Gate stuff. And I sit there. I stand there. Front row center. Because tonight, when the show was at, you know, for whatever reason, I'm laying in the bed, I'm buying tickets. For whatever reason, for this show, it was going to be at the Fox Theater or something, one show. I forget where it was. They moved it to a smaller venue. I paid for early entrance. I paid $15 extra to skip the line, to be in the front of the line. Now they moved it to another venue, smaller venue. And I don't know how that's gonna work, if they even have skipped the line or whatever. But I'm gonna get there early enough to find out. I get up, work at 5. My sinuses are doing stuff. I thought when it rained, it wouldn't do it. But I feel it doing stuff. And I'm just saying, I'm taking Tylenol and Claritin. I'm just gonna pop them, I don't care. They seem to work, seem to make it go away. And today of all days, I don't want that on me today. So I'm gonna go back home, eat, put some in my stomach and see how I feel. Then I'll pop them Tylenol and the fake Claritin. But I'll figure it anyway. So I gotta skip the line tonight. Which may not matter, but it's fun to have it anyway. It's fun to get there early and have skipped the line. You get in front of everybody. You look back at them. Them looking at me. You know, me doing my Jeffrey P. Funk one character. At first, I couldn't stand the line. At first, I couldn't standing in line. And I was like with the regular people. It was a time where my ego was at that place, and kind of it is now, too. But now it's not so much ego when I stand in line, because I actually like standing in line talking to people. But it's more that I've done this so much that I can figure out ways not to have a standing line and to accomplish my intended, what I wanted to do, what I needed to do. Because, you know, I walk up in there, chosen. You know, I know folks, so I'll be like, hey. They just happen to be in the front of the line, and I'll be like, hey. You know, and I just walk up there with them. Or, you know, we start talking. Usually I get there so early. You know, what I will do is I get there early, and I'll get chummy with the first person there. I'm rarely, well, in London, in Bristol, I was the first. No, Bristol, this 18, 22-year-old dude was there first. He was there early. He was like 2 hours early in line, first in line. And I like going talking to him, say, hey, you know, talking to the person who's first in line. They tell me their story, how long they've been there, and they ready. And I said, that used to be me. That used to be me. So I can't hate. Not that I even know how to hate, or that's even possible for me to hate, but. So I'll get there early, and what I do is I'll talk to them, get all chummy with them, and to see how the conversation goes, and kind of slip in. I'm gonna go here. I'll be back. It's, you know, kind of like, not so much would you hold my spot or hold my place or something like that. You know, just kind of put it in a nice way, because they're gonna be standing there for 2 hours, and I'm gonna go. Get a Slurpee. Oh, that was in McKeesport. I started walking around. Got a Slurpee. That's back when I was smoking Black and Miles. You know, all that. I'm glad I quit smoking them damn things. I'm so glad. I don't want to go back. And notice I'm not going to say I'm never going back. It's more than likely I'm going to smoke them again. I'll probably go through this whole thing again. But right now, I feel so much better without them. So we'll see how that goes tonight. Get there front row. Like, while I was in, was it London? Yeah, I think it was London and Bristol, London. And I met, oh my God, I forgot their names. Oh my God, I forgot their name. How could I forget their name? Barry. Swizzle, was it Barry? Weevil, Barry Weevil. I think it was a. And I met them. His wife had a prosthetic leg, so she got in early. And I was talking to them. I think I met them or something. We was Facebook friends, and I think I met them in Vegas or some other place or like that. They were like, "Yeah, we met you, blah blah blah." Well, oh yeah. I tell you what, something, like, I can't remember. I don't know if that's true or not. But start talking to them. And so she had a leg. She got in there first. So I was like literally the first person in the venue. Because they went up to like to the spot where the, did we still say handicap? What's the word we use now? Challenge? What's the word? Physically challenged? What's, my hand. What's the word? But anyway, you know, that section. Yeah. Accessibility. Ease of accessibility section, whatever. And they were up there. And I was like on the floor, had the whole floor to myself. I was like, oh my God, London. Jerry Scott Mitchell, London, P-Funk Show. The only one in the damn venue, basically. Because that front row is important. That front row is important. Even in my old age, standing up for all that time. Because see, to be front row, you're not only standing up during the show, you got to stand up and hold that spot, or you got to hold that spot for like 2 hours before the show actually starts. And you're standing in line. That's a lot of standing. Walking is easier on your back than just standing. So sometimes I'll sit down with my back up against the divider, you know, and be on my phone or whatever. Do that. Because you got to rest your back. I got to rest my back, even though I'm walking. Now, you know, I'm stronger. Even though I got this extra weight on, I can tell the difference standing up with the extra weight. But that was that, you know, getting there first and see my boy from San Diego, who's always first in line. I'd be like, man, you be there first. You know, some people just be, you know, I got to bow down. I'm like, look, that's not me no more. I got to give it to him. You know, I've had my time. You know, I know the ins and outs. I know what to be excited for, kind of, and what not, and how to be patient. I know how things are going to play out. But that's part of the anticipation for a lot of people. That's part of the anticipation for a lot of people. I think it was in Bristol, and I was out there, you know, being me. People in line, excited, you know, younger people. And Mr. Curry, Mr. Bajosian, I think Mr. Thomas and them was walking back from lunch. And I kind of greeted them. And, you know, all the little kids, not kids, but, you know, the younger people, you know, saw me doing Jeffrey being Jeffrey. And I think Mr. Payne was there, greeted the band, you know. They didn't even know they was the band. Because, you know, people would be walking around looking like regular people. But they had to figure they was somebody. It was like four middle-aged, if not elderly, black men walking around dressed in normal clothing, you know, together. And you can just tell by their walking, their swagger, that, you know, they comfortable. They, you know, they know what's going on. That's, and then at that same show, people were asking me stuff. Just because of the way I stood and where I carried myself, asking me stuff. Like, I knew what was going on. It was like, it's okay if I did it. I was like, I don't care. And then they kind of looked at me funny. I was like, I don't work here. And I mean, oh, okay. You know, it's just the way you carry yourself. Like I said, attractive is an act. Authority is also, too. You can carry that air, people will pick up on it. But anyhow, it's still exciting, you know. And that's another thing I gotta remember. And I'll never forget that, you know, I used to be excited. I used to be that. A lot of people, it's their first time. A lot. You know, I always meet somebody, it's their first time. That's my first time. My parents or George Clinton. It's George Clinton, come on. It's George Clinton, they, you know. It's George Clinton, come on, the music, come on. I'm like, no, I want you to explain it to me. I know why I do it. I want to know why you do it, why you're here. I remember one time in San Diego, was asking, you know, a girl, it was two of them together. You know, there was one that was really excited doing all the talking. And her sidekick was there. And her sidekick kind of answered the question in a more analytical breakdown. She's like, oh, I understand what you're asking. And she kind of, her tone was more of a, you know, like trying to answer a test question. Not a test, but, you know, trying to answer the question with less excitement and give me the information that I want. And I was like, oh, because she broke down the music and said the style and this and that. Oh, okay. That part I like. So that's the part about being in line and doing stuff and different venues, and different crowds. New Orleans comes to mind. I love New Orleans shows for whatever reason. Probably because of the food down there. The whole experience in New Orleans, the humidity, the food, just something about New Orleans that I don't be missing those shows in New Orleans. I don't. And I noticed that. I just noticed that recently. There was a time where I didn't miss no shows in Cleveland, in Ohio, because of the crowd. Because of the way the crowd was on the one, the rhythm of the crowd, the way the crowd understands the music. It's where I'm from. It's in me. That's where I get it from. And more, I'm realizing that I didn't invent this. My parents was doing this before. You know, I mean, my mother was going to concerts and dancing all the time. Ohio, this period of just funk people. And I realized that, you know, this didn't start with me. I'm a product. I just took the parts I liked and put them together to make Jeffrey. And I love me some Jeffrey. Everybody contributed. Environment, public, society, teachers, parents, friends, cousins, enemies, everybody, everything that went into Jeffrey. Jeffrey pulled this, Jeffrey liked that part. Jeffrey liked that part. Ooh, okay. I like that. I want that part of your philosophy. The other part you can keep. This part I like. I like the way you do that. Put it all together. Synthesize my own character or ideology, I say that word again, or philosophy, or however you want to put it. All right, I think that's enough for today. Well, not for today, because, you know, as soon as I get back to where I'm at, I brought my cameras with me. I be taking my cameras. I love taking my cameras with me and setting them up. I do. And it's cool that I go in, I set them up. The wireless ones are smart enough to find the Wi-Fi wherever I'm at. You know, if I've been there before, kick it, connect, and it disconnect. It connect right to the laptop like it's supposed to, you know. And then I just put my mic on. I'm going pure wireless now. Even though I can go wired on the laptop because I didn't hear that hum on the laptop. I only heard that hum when I used the wired mic on the phone. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the bump. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. It's the totality of it all. A theory of universe. The hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey. This ain't gonna never cut off when I tap it.